tonight on the Mac to the Future livecast. Go. That third gen Apple TV is not looking too good these days. A YouTuber makes the first publicly seen M series iMac, but it yells at European villagers and is afraid of fire. Soon you'll also be able to shop via Twitter. I'll just leave that right there. And Apple has a new Mac OS 11.3 beta 3, which seems like kind of a redundant thing to say. All of that tonight and likely more with Echoes on the Mac to the Future livecast. Yo. And good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Mac to the Future livecast. You notice it says Guy's Daily Drive. It definitely says Guy's Daily Drive. But I'm not the only one here. I am also joined by Mr. David Ginsburg. Hello there, Mr. David Ginsburg.
How you doing, everybody?
That says in touch with iOS.
In touch with iOS.
Shouldn't that say something else?
You can also put suburban Chicago Apple users from the group president.
I was thinking this week in iOS.
Oh yes. If anybody was on Mac Voices Live yesterday,
yeah.
Jeff Gamet is going to be on the show tomorrow, but he said this week in iOS.
He did.
And luckily enough, this week in iOS hasn't been in production in 10 years, so we're good.
Okay, we have a. He left and then he came back. Mr. Warren Sklar. Hello there, Mr. Warren Sklar.
I meant to do that.
He did.
Just so you know.
Is everything okay?
Yeah. I came home from work and the first thing I went to do was hook up my new router. So I did that. And then now I'm playing with another toy I got. So I'm like, you know, I'm frazzled. Basically, what's going on now.
He's got more toys coming too.
Yeah.
I got more toys and I got a. I got an Orbi Wi-Fi 6.
System. Nice.
And I got a Netgear Wi-Fi 6.
Fairly.
I have a dead Drobo.
Right now, I'm not getting that great of speeds. Oh yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
I got this thing. Did you see my post? It's like a, it's a stand. Wait,
hold on.
I could put my iPad on it, and all right. So it's a stand, and you put a device on there.
Oh, it's got a hub.
It's also a USB. It's a USB-C hub built in. It was $49 on Amazon, and I'm putting my iPad in it to use it as a sidecar display, and it's awesome, actually.
How well does that work like with that. the Apple case? Or are we not talking about that?
I mean,
okay.
well I mean, yeah, I don't have that keyboard.
Yeah.
So if anybody might want to buy that keyboard, I might sell it because I don't use it. So I might put that up.
Just one more thing on the list, everyone.
Well, make sure you share a link to that stand. Yeah.
And from YouTube, Brian F. says hello.
I put it in the Facebook group.
Yeah. You did or I didn't?
I did, yeah. I linked to it in my post.
And I think Frank is with us somewhere.
It must be.
I think he's coming through as Facebook user.
Yeah, because he didn't. Because this week and I lost a couple. Yeah.
Leo will hunt you down. Like the dog you are.
Leo could care less.
All right, bad video stuttering on Facebook. Maybe that's part of the issue. It's a stand. It's a floor wax. All right, very good. We've got some stuff to talk about tonight. Let's start off with this right here. Apple's third gen Apple TV, which came out in 2012, can no longer play YouTube videos. The MLB app is gone as well. While some may see that as a plus, it means that yet another built-in application is fading away from the device. Now, you can still use AirPlay for all those cat videos and Let's Plays, but it's yet another reason to start making some choices on what you want to use to stream video from your TV. And we're going to start, I think, with Warren. Warren, what do you think about this?
Couple things. First, I think it's fine that they're doing that because they're old. They're old devices. AirPlays, I mean, you could probably pick them up for free nowadays because they're, you know, everywhere. So if you need an AirPlay device, go ahead and get something like that. But the problem with getting rid of these apps is people are going to get rid of these Apple TVs and they're not going to buy the new ones because they're expensive. And everybody knows that most TVs now come with most of the stuff anyways, or an Amazon stick or Roku stick is like a third of the price. So I don't know if this is going to help sales of the new devices or steer people away from the Apple TV device.
Okay. Yeah. Dave?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a something that's going to cause people to just abandon the Apple TV. I mean, at this point, if they've had a third gen, it's definitely going to be something that they're not going to want to deal with anymore. The fourth gen and the 4K version, you know, you're spending $100+ for it. So it's going to be a definite. And I think probably one of these app developers are probably looking at the fact that, you know, the processing speed on that Apple TV third gen is slow. And is it worth their time and efforts to be creating these apps? Besides the fact that it has to be offloaded by Apple because you don't have an app store on those third gens versus the fourth gen and the 4K. So I see it slowly disappearing.
What the device in
the
general?
Device itself, in general.
Yeah, I've been saying that for like the last year that it as soon as Apple started putting Apple TV Plus on television sets and onto other streaming boxes, at that point it became redundant. You know, it was never a huge seller for Apple. It never was. So if they can sell the service, which is a monthly thing that they get as compared to a one-time shot with hardware, you know, why would they even bother? Right. So I think they may update the Apple TV one more time for people who have yet to get like a smart TV that has a lot of apps on it. But I don't see them going anywhere with the Apple TV as hardware going forward in the future. It's not necessary.
There's a rumor of making it more gaming compatible. That's what people are saying. If they do come up with something, it's going to have a fast, maybe M processor, MX type processor, and you could game better on it. So if they're going to do that, they're going to try to go full into the console war.
Oh, of course. Because, you know, Nintendo is having like all of this success with the Switch, which compared to like the PlayStation 5 and the latest Xbox is really not all that impressive as far as hardware goes. But that's the device that seems to have captured someone. I think that's the device that seems to have captured most of the market. Has been the Switch. That's what's getting a lot of the press.
It's so funny.
I know. We have an audience. Okay, so the next thing I got here is you guys know who Luke Miani is? I think that's his name. He's a YouTuber.
Luke Mini.
Yeah, I know. It auto.
Luke Mini.
Don't you just love autocorrect, auto spell?
Okay.
There's a guy named Luke Miani who does. He's a YouTuber. Does lots of videos, and he has created the first
Luke Mini used an Mac Mini. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he created the first publicly shown iMac with an M series processor by destroying both a 2012 iMac, which admittedly was no great loss, and an M1 Mac Mini. Slow Wi-Fi, negligible Bluetooth, and that's based on my experiences. No big surprise either. No working ports from the outside, and hours of work for bragging rights seems to be about as much as can be expected from this endeavor. From the story that I was reading on this, he basically, when he gutted the 2012 iMac, he turned it essentially into like a an Apple display. What were those called? It was, well, it was an Apple display, but it was, I thought it had a name.
Not the Thunderbolt display.
Something like that. I can't remember. But it basically, it looks just like a 2012 iMac, and he had to use, I guess he soldered on some connections for Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and all the rest of that. But I mean, it's a real Frankenstein monster from what I was seeing. Yeah, cinema display. That's what I was trying to remember. Yeah, so
I got the Thunderbolt display. Yeah,
that's what chat room got it.
Yeah. Now, granted, I'll be here all week. It doesn't seem like losing the 2012 iMac is that big of a deal, because you know that's a 8-year-old, 9-year-old computer, so who cares? But he pretty much just gutted a Mac Mini, made it less capable so that it would have a built-in monitor.
Yeah, for the clicks and science. I
mean, yeah, what do you think, Dad?
He did it because we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a joke. I mean, I don't even know why he would even do something like that. It just seems crazy. It's all speculation. Why? I'm sorry. I think it's a waste of time. I don't even know why he even does this.
Because he can.
I guess he can.
Yeah. What do you think, Warren?
I mean, we've seen people putting phones in blenders and will it break? And I mean, this is not new. People do this, and you know, he was smart enough to make one, which is nice. You know, my thought is what I kind of said yesterday on Chuck's show is, you know, I think if Apple released a current model iMac and slapped an M1 processor in it, I think people would buy it. It would sell. So, you know, there you go. He couldn't wait. He couldn't wait for them to do that.
Couldn't wait.
So he had to do it himself.
Yeah. All right. Next story I have, along with now being able to pay popular Twitter users for tweets, soon you'll be able to shop from Twitter as well through ads and embedded product links. Apparently, using Amazon is just too hard and takes too long these days. Warren, are you looking forward to the days of shopping via Twitter?
I think I've used Twitter 4 times in my life, so I'm good. I'll be all right.
You'll be all right with that? Okay.
I don't know my Twitter handle, so.
Are you muted, Dave? You're muted.
Yeah,
you've muted yourself, Dave.
Keeps touching things.
Stop touching things. It says you're muted.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, okay. What happened?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
It's still echoing, but okay.
Obviously, you need to go to Twitter and buy some stuff.
I'm not surprised.
Instead of going through Amazon. Well, they've been trying to figure out a way to monetize Twitter for years.
Yeah, I mean it's set up now where they've got the same stuff that they have for Instagram with the live feed things, just like they have on Facebook, you know, the your live feed. So
yeah,
they're trying to reinvent themselves.
All right. There was also, I'm just like not on the ball tonight. There was an update to macOS 11.3 beta 3. It's now out and ready for those brave souls with nothing to lose by downloading and installing it for both developers and those using the public betas. This machine, this Mac Mini that I have, this M Series Mac Mini, is like the first production machine that I've taken a chance on running the betas. And I think it's mostly just because of the Bluetooth issues that I was having. But there's some other kind of cool things that have come out in this beta. It introduces more customization options for Safari with different ways to change the sections on the start page, like favorites, reading list, Siri suggestions, privacy report. Also, better ways to use iOS apps on the M1 Max with Touch Alternatives preference pane to set keyboard commands for touch input alternatives. There's autoplay for Apple Music so that the party never ends. Some UI changes for Apple News Plus, support for newer game controllers too. And you've put some stuff in here, Dave. What is this stuff that you just put in?
You now can play the HomePod as a pair, because that's always been an issue with Mac OS in general. When the HomePod came out, I have HomePod pairs next to me here, there. You were only able to play the left or the right
everywhere
when you had it in pair. So now in 11.3, you're going to be able to play them in a true pair and listen to them both at the same time.
Well, I only have the one iPod or HomePod Mini, so I have
the two big boys. So,
anything in the beta that you've been playing with, Warren?
Here's something a little shocking. I am not on the Big Sur beta.
What?
I'm down to one MacBook. I kept my M1 and I sold the 16-inch. To a company that's hopefully going to pay me for it.
That would be nice.
My plan. Yes. So my plan is this. My plan is to.
It's got to be Frank.
Use the M1.
Use the M1 for what?
For everything. And then I'm going to use sidecar as an external display. And then I'm getting my mom's old iMac 2014, which I'm going to play around with the betas on. So by next week, I'll be back on the beta on at least one machine. So everything will be good.
God, I was just thinking about today how many Macs I have here in the house. I've got the M1 Mac Mini. I've got a 2014 Mac Mini, which is like my Steam machine. I've got the 2018 MacBook Air that I got from you, Warren. I've got the 27-inch 2017 iMac that I'm giving to Tracy. And I've got a 2013 15-inch MacBook Pro. It's like, what, why do I have all of these computers?
Yeah.
I need two computers. I need one for the desk and I need one as my mobile machine. And I've got more. I don't know why.
I like to have one big laptop generally and one small laptop. That's kind of how I like to roll. So, but I'm down to just two laptops. I got a Windows laptop, a nice one, and this laptop. So I'm feeling a little scared, to be honest with you.
Any time, your technological world could come crashing down to your knees.
I have no laptops.
You went from having all the laptops to none of the laptops. All right. I don't really have anything else. This might be like a super short show, unless you guys have anything else that you want to talk about tonight. Is there anything from the chat room, anything that you guys want us to talk about or anything that you want to bring up?
The Paramount Plus channel is going to be live tomorrow, as of tomorrow. That's happening. And then,
are they going to give like credit for people who were already on CBS All Access?
It just transfers over. I actually signed up for the CBS All Access ahead of time, the $50 for a full year, so I'm covered for the year, and it'll just transfer over. So,
yeah, I need to check and see. I don't even know what I've got for CBS All Access. I was so disappointed in some of their offerings and the way they had the one thing, and you know, we can talk about this. The couple of things that really pissed me off about CBS All Access. One was they were talking about having like this huge library of shows. So you had Taxi, you had, you know, I Love Lucy, you had the Dick Van Dyke Show, you had all of these fantastic classic shows that you could watch. Except it wasn't all the episodes.
Mm-hmm.
If you went and looked at, even if you had the non-ad version, you went and looked at Taxi, there were huge parts of that show that just wasn't there. So it's like, well, then why are you even offering it if you're not going to show the whole thing? I never understood that. And I'm hoping with Paramount Plus, well, look, it's CBS. They own Paramount. They own all of the content that Paramount has ever come out with the exception of possibly some syndication deals in various parts of the country that you know, I don't know, maybe Channel 36 in Oshkosh Bagosh has, you know, the distribution rights to the Dick Van Dyke Show or something. I don't know. But for the most part, they control all of that content. And the only reason I could come up with as to why they wouldn't show all of the episodes was that there were still people buying seasons on DVD.
It's distribution. It's probably Netflix. It's like Pluto TV. It's like all those other services that are offering all these shows. They probably signed a license agreement. Roku is another one. They have a license agreement that those episodes are exclusive to that specific platform. It was kind of like what the way The Office was, where The Office was on all the other platforms on Netflix. Well, it's off Netflix now because Peacock, because that's a NBC, got back the rights to it because they had sold off the rights for many years. I mean, was it the Pluto TV? I think you can go on The Love Boat and One Day at a Time and All the Family. And
yeah,
they have like dedicated channels just for those shows that you can watch anytime you feel like it. Yeah, granted, you got to sit there and watch commercials, but all those shows are now out, are on there. And Brian FC says the back catalog isn't bad on CBS Paramount.
Well, here's the crazy thing about this is that CBS didn't own Paramount during all these years, as many of these shows did. Well, Paramount was its own thing, and then it was split off, and then it became part of Viacom, then it became part of this and that and that.
And Viacom bought CBS.
And then, yeah, so they've kind of, and the weird thing was, now you're a Star Trek fan, right?
Yep.
Okay. Who had Star Trek? Paramount did. Right. Where was Star Trek first played? NBC.
NBC.
And NBC and Desilu put up the money to make the original series.
Right.
Gene Roddenberry pitched Star Trek to CBS before any of that happened.
And look what happened.
and CBS turned them down. And what they did instead, they did Lost in Space. Based partly on the enthusiasm that I guess that they felt after Roddenberry pitched Star Trek. So, and here we are, you know, years and years and years later, you don't even see the original Lost in Space and syndication really anywhere. I can't remember the last time I'd seen anyone showing Lost in Space
everywhere.
Episodes.
I mean... You see Seinfeld every other minute there on many of these local channels, and there's a lot of those types of shows that they have licensing for that. So you know, you're not, even though Seinfeld was on NBC, you're not going to see it. You don't see it on Peacock, I don't think. I may be incorrect with that, but you know that's how they got the licensing in place when they syndicated out these shows. I mean, just like Star Trek Discovery, you know, you can only watch it in the United States on CBS All Access, now Paramount, but they also have a license deal with Netflix that can be shown anywhere else in the world.
In Europe, right.
In Europe, and, you know, in England. So I was doing that. I figured, wow, this is kind of cool. I got ExpressVPN. I went on VPN. I signed in. Oh, look, I can watch Star Trek Discovery on Netflix. So just for grins. So, but no, it's all licensing. I think that's all really boils down to is how the HBO Max. That's another one. No, HBO Max has exclusive rights to the Big Bang Theory. That's CBS. I don't know if CBS also shows it or not. I can't remember off the top of my head. But HBO Max has a lot of shows. I think they have Friends too, and that was NBC. So. And that
they're showing network television on HBO Max.
Yeah, they have all 10 seasons of Friends on HBO Max.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, and they have all 12 seasons of Big Bang Theory on HBO Max.
Well, one thing that I found that was kind of interesting was that I had a thought and it just went like flew right out of my head. We were talking about licensing. We were talking about syndication. this is so embarrassing. I hate when this happens. The Peacock Network. What the Peacock Network has done is what all of these channels should be doing, which is you have a free version with ads, which is fine, and then you have a paid version without ads. Right. And CBS All Access, Paramount Now, Paramount Plus, Disney Plus, all of these streaming services, for the most part, don't have a free tier. They have like a less cost paid option with ads, and then a paid version without ads. And that's, to me, that's really not the way that you want to go, especially when you're just starting out trying to build an audience. I think the Peacock Network has the right idea. You bring a lot of content to the table. You let people watch it for free. All they have to do is just watch an ad every once in a while. And then you slowly get them used to having that content. And then little by little, you say, okay, well, if you want to see this without ads, it's going to cost you just this little pittance per month. And I think that's the way to go as compared to what all these other streaming stations or streaming services are doing. That sooner or later, it's just going to come back and bite them in the ass. Because a big reason why so many people have cut the cord and dropped cable was because cable companies were charging outrageous prices. I was paying $130 to $150 a month just for cable, not even counting internet. Right. And I figured, okay, I'm going to cut the cord and I'm just going to get the channels that I want. So then I ended up with Apple TV Plus, and I ended up with Disney, and I ended up with Netflix, and I ended up with Hulu, and I ended up with all of these services. Now I'm paying
not just as much,
just about as much as I was paying before. And I think that there's going to be a shakeup here, and there needs to be a shakeup, and just to get these people to wrap their heads around, for years and years and years, you offered us this stuff for free. All we had to do was watch ads. So do that again.
Right.
It's not that hard. All right. Well, I feel, other than that senior moment, I think I was all right there. wasn't too much of a soapbox to stand on. Money talks, a guy moment. It was definitely a guy moment. And Frank has gone to StreamYard.com/Facebook.
That's because I told him to.
Hulu, I'm spending $50 a month on Hulu.
Because you have the local channels on there too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But at the same time, I also have this other service, and I can't remember what the name of it is off the top of my head, that also offers me some of the local channels, but it's always under threat of litigation. So yeah. I figured I'd just go ahead. And plus with Hulu, you get the higher tier, and then we got, you know, NFL football and college football and all the stuff that we were missing, because ESPN Plus that you get through the Disney bundle sucks. It's useless.
That's the problem. But that's the problem. You just said the problem. The problem is sports with all these streaming services.
Yep.
None of those streaming services get sports. And there was an article saying that Apple is talking about getting the NFL, which would be nice.
Yeah, they're talking to do changes here. So,
Locast, yeah, that was it.
Locast, that's, you could pay $5 a month for that, and you get all your local channels.
Well, we have them all right now, except for I think CBS. They, for whatever reason, I guess maybe they were threatening them or whatever. Yeah, well,
and Antenna does, but it's Antenna's a pain in the butt.
And not only is it a pain in the butt, but depending on how far away the broadcast towers are, it's not like it was. Right. It's not like it was when it was, you know, VHF and UHF, where you had these huge antennas that were just pumping out signal. Now you have these relatively smaller towers that have, for the most part, they're streaming up to satellites, and they are still broadcasting, but it's done on. You know, a much lower powered level than it was before. They're not interested in going, you know, 50 miles, 100 miles away to you know, mom and pa kettle who only have that, the rabbit ears on top of the TV set. Those days are gone.
Right.
You know, they're pumping it out to the, you know, the big network so that they can watch it all there. Okay.
Who cares?
No, well, I mean, digital antennas is, I mean, that's really the only way you can go now.
I mean, I'm in Chicago, so I have a big market. Yeah. I'm in an area where, depending on where I put the antenna up in my roof, I could easily do it, but do I want to go through that hassle? No.
Right. Well, and again, it used to be you would just get some rabbit ears, you'd plug an F connector onto the back of your TV set, and you were done.
Exactly.
And I'd pick, this is back, you know, in the days when I lived in Fort Lauderdale, I'd pick up stations from West Palm Beach to the north and Miami to the south, and they came in fine.
Right.
But you can't do that anymore. It doesn't work like that anymore.
Not now. It's digital. Nope.
Yeah. So progress. Yeah.
But it looks better.
One other thing I wanted to bring up was MacStock 2021. That is changing. Unfortunately, Mike Potter, he did post a YouTube video to go through. It was kind of a cool video. You should check it out.
He did
a tour of the Woodstock Square where Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Groundhog Day was filmed, and that's where his office is too. So, he was doing some evaluations of it all, and it just came down to the fact that there's no guarantee that things are going to open up here in Illinois.
No.
And even if the McHenry County College were to open up by June, that doesn't give them enough time to plan for it. So I think he made a wise decision that we're going to go virtual again. So, I more than likely will probably be helping him out in producing. And then you and I, Guy, talked about some other stuff we might do. And I think it'll be a good, it turned out great last year with virtual. We'll have some great fun and presentations. And I think it was a good decision. And let's shoot for 2022 and have to go back in person. I mean, believe me, I miss all you guys. Guy can attest to it too. I've been there all 5 years in person, and the sixth year was virtual. So, now we're on year 7, and then we'll be in year 8, and that's where we'll be able to see each other again. So, I mean,
well, you and I will probably meet in July because I'm planning on going to Woodstock to give Mike a hand right there in Woodstock.
That's the plan.
So hopefully, you know, I mean, we won't be playing You Don't Know Jack, you know, over at the bar across from the Hampton Inn. Because, you know, when you just have two people, it's not nearly as much fun.
No.
But it'll still be good to get together.
We'll get a good production. Help him with it and make it even a more improved production than it was last year. But it still was pretty gosh darn good for what we did last year. So, and it'll be a lot of fun. And there'll be plenty of topics. We have a great community. So I think it'll be great. And I just wanted to make sure listeners knew about that and the viewers more to come.
Yep. So make sure you go on over to, has he got a URL for it yet?
Still, probably MacStockConferenceAndExpo.com is probably the best way to get to it still. I don't know if he's, I haven't looked at his website.
If you just do a Google search for MacStock, not the music festival, but the MacStock Conference and Expo, you'll be able to go on over to Mike's website and get all the current information on what's going on there. And we'll talk more about it, on this show. I'm sure you guys will talk about it on In Touch with iOS as well.
Yeah, it's MacStockConferenceAndExpo.com.
Okay, so everybody make sure you go on over and check that out. That, I think, is going to do it for tonight. Warren, if people wanted to get a hold of you, what would they have to do?
Don't tweet me because I don't know how to do it. So, I do this show. I did the show yesterday with Chuck and you guys. I won't be in tomorrow. I am doing a sleep study, overnight. So that's going to be fun.
No, it's not going to be fun.
And, the Facebook.
You end group. Up with, at the end of it, you end up well, with it a might, CPAP it's machine.
A, no, he already has one.
Oh, no, okay. I already have one. This is for more.
Studies. Me too.
Yeah, we all do. Nice.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a fighter pilot just before I go to sleep at night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's all right, Dave, if people wanted to get hold of you and say, you sound just like Darth Vader, how would they do it?
You can find me at intouchwithios at intouchwithios.com. As we mentioned earlier, Jeff Gamet will be on the show called This Week in iOS. But you also can find me at the Suburban Chicago Apple Users at myseau.org. Actually, Kelly Gamont is actually speaking at our event on this coming Saturday morning.
Nice.
And looking forward to that, as well as I am speaking, and that will have some fun. You also find me on the Mac Show through the British Tech Network on Fridays, usually, depending on if I'm not working or not. And then, of course, Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights with a guy is on there with me, as well as Chuck Joyner.
Yeah.
And a cast of thousands. It's become quite a thing.
It has.
And we've had
certainly
a lot of fun.
More people watch that than to this.
Yeah, go to youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. He does it on YouTube, as well as on Facebook. He just streams it on the Mac Voices Facebook page and Twitter and Instagram. I'm on DaveG65. Thank you, Guy.
And if you'd like to get a hold of me, the email address is guy@mymac.com. The Twitter handles are MacParrot and InvertShark. You can also help support all the things I do by going to patreon.com/ not yet. Wait for it. patreon.com/MacParrot. Coffee, ko-fi.com/MacParrot. As well as paying a pal over at paypal.me/MacParrot. And of course, besides the Mac to the Future live cast, I also on occasion live cast from my car. That is Guy's Daily Drive. You can find that over in iTunes. And of course, the mighty mymac.com podcast that I do with Gazmaz for like, God, 10 years now. I can't believe it. Yeah, you want to talk about senior moments? There's like lots of them over there on that show. It's crazy. Well, that I think is going to do it for tonight. Thank you all so very, very much for joining us this evening on the Mac to the Future livecast. And we will see you all next time. Dave and Warren, if there was anything that you wanted to say, As far as a sign out goes, what would it be?
Hasta la vista, baby.
Okay, yeah, that'll work.